or CRB 89.3 FM, your radio station.
And a very good morning to you. It's John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You. Your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 9:30. All you need to do is get on that telephone as soon as you can. 5520888 is the number. That number again, 5520888. And for our listeners south of the Tweed River, don't forget you need to put 07 in front of the number. And before I go to our first caller, I must pass on my sincere thanks to my colleague, Margaret Miller, who's stood in for me for the last few weeks while I've taken a little bit of a break. And I would just like to thank her for the time that she put in attending to the program. And by the looks of the call sheets over the last few weeks, it's certainly been a very busy time for her with many, many calls coming in. So a sincere thanks to Margaret for providing that guidance to our listeners while I've been away. But enough of that. We've got callers on the line, and we've got a very patient George who's been sitting there for about 10 minutes. Good morning, George. How are you today?
Oh, good morning, John. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. How can I help you today?
John, I'm ringing up on behalf of a friend of mine.
Sure.
A woman who's had a big falling out with her father about 12 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and she was just wondering. He's extremely wealthy and she's extremely poor,
mm-hmm.
and he was just wondering if as his only daughter, would she still be entitled to a part of his estate?
Yes. Well, look, George, the situation is that unless there has been what is referred to as disentitling conduct on her part, it would be highly likely that she would be successful in a claim on her estate, particularly having regard to the fact that, A, she's the only child, and, B, her financial position is not good. So certainly if and when the father passes away, she should seek legal advice as soon as possible. But also I think the other side of it is that she should also consider endeavouring to re-establish contact with her father, not because she's interested in what she may get from his estate, but more to the point that it would be a tragedy for her father to pass away without them being reconciled, if that was at all possible. So,
I just might mention quickly, John, that the reason that they've become strange is due to a huge fallout over a family business.
Right.
And apparently, and this is a separate case, she's actually got in the court system of trying to recoup some of the money that he's actually stolen from her through the company.
Right.
And that's the reason why he's so wealthy and she's so poor.
Right.
It's a separate case, but because of that altogether, they haven't spoken.
Yep.
He's tried to get in touch and he won't have any part of it.
Yep. All right. Okay. Well, if that's the situation, and as I say, look, no one can give her an ironclad guarantee because, I mean, the other thing is that the father, for example, do you know which state the father lives in?
Oh, they're both in southeast Queensland, yeah.
Okay, so they're both in Queensland, all right, because if they're in Queensland, the other thing that could possibly happen is that the father could attempt to divest himself of assets before he passes away. But if there's no other family, then there may not be anyone that he could divest to.
No, I believe there isn't any other family, and he can be quite spiteful, and he was just thinking if he left it to charity or to the bloke down the road.
In those circumstances, I think, in all the circumstances, I think that there would be a very strong basis for her to make a claim against her father's estate. As I say, I would be continuing to try. Hopefully, when the court case is out of the road, maybe things can settle down a bit then. But in the meantime, if he were to pass away before the case is finalised, she would still have that claim against his estate in terms of the claim that's already been instituted. And secondly, she certainly is a person who is entitled to bring a claim for provision out of his estate under the family provision section of the Succession Act.
Thanks for that advice. Now, she's been left destitute as a result of dad embezzling all this money, and that's why he's got, I think he owns about three properties or four properties, and she's homeless.
Basically. Right. All right.
For that reason. So she's just worried about it. So she's still up there with a good chance.
Certainly. All right, then. Okay, George, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 11 minutes past 9, as we say a very good morning to Susie. G'day, Susie. How are you?
Hello?
Yes, Susie. John Fragley. How can I help?
Yes, John. Look, my brother divorced his dad now. He divorced his second wife, but they were still friends now. He gave her enduring power of attorney and also to be executor of his will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I totally trusted her, but lately things have been happening where there's some information that's been withheld, and then I find there's been a few lies told. Now, he put himself into aged care, so she sold all, with his permission, of course, sold all his things in the home, three-bedroom home, which when he had beds, washing machines, had a couple of cars, old ones, of course, everything for a three-bedroom home, which she sold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm just wondering, does she have to account for the money that she got for that?
Because yes, she does.
I trusted her with that. Now, I'm not trusting her now because of something that's happened.
Yep.
How do I go about complaining about that?
That your brother has now passed away?
Yes, he has.
Right, okay. Yes. So she's the executor of the estate.
Yes, and she has absolutely no idea of her responsibilities. And she's doing the most horrific things.
Is she, does she have a lawyer who's assisting?
Yes, but I have to say that he is not doing a very good job either.
Right. Now, are you a beneficiary under the will?
I am a beneficiary. My brother left everything, half to his second wife, who I don't mind. She's helped him. I'm not disagreeing with her. Half of it to her and half to me. It's not a huge amount, but half to her and half to me.
Right. Well, you're certainly entitled to ask for an accounting of the estate, Susan. So you're entitled to, as a beneficiary of the estate, you're entitled to ask for a full accounting of the assets and liabilities of the estate, the funds that have been received into the estate and how they've been dispersed.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And so you should make that demand to the solicitor who's dealing with the estate, because he'll presumably pass it on to the executor. If you have any concerns about whether you're getting the right information or that sort of thing, what you could do, I would suggest it may be worthwhile to consult a solicitor to write that letter for you,
I think a lot of stuff might have been given to her family.
Well, she still needs to account for where it went.
All right.
I mean, she may say that she gave it to the Salvation Army or to Vinnie's or whatever. And it's then a question for you to determine whether, A, those things had that much real value or not.
You don't give cars away to some Vinnie's, do you?
Not normally, no. So certainly with the cars, she would need to be able to account for how they were disposed of. You know, I don't know, unless he had really expensive household goods like antiques and things like that.
Well, a full three-bedroom house, refrigerators, TVs, microwaves.
Yeah, but honestly, I can tell you all that stuff, from my experience, you're flat out getting a second-hand dealer to come and take it away. I wouldn't get too hung up on the value of those things, but certainly the car.
But she still has to be accountable for it, doesn't she?
Oh, yes, no question at all. All right, then.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, Susie, all the best. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 14 and a half minutes after the hour of 9. The Law and You is the program, 55208888, the number. And we say a very good morning to Ken. G'day, Ken. How are you?
John, is it?
It is. How are you today, Ken?
Good, mate. A couple of things.
Sure.
First, is it right that a person can make a will and a enduring power of attorney with the public trustee for no charge?
Yes.
Okay. When that person passes away, does the public trustee take a fee from the estate?
If the public trustee is appointed as the executor under the estate, then yes, they will.
Is it a substantial fee?
Look, I honestly can't tell you. I think it's certainly comparable to the fees that a solicitor would charge.
Okay.
So you could certainly make inquiries with the Public Trustee's Office to get an idea of what their fees would be.
Okay.
Hmm.
Next, I have a friend. She has one daughter, four grandkids, two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't got a lot in the way of assets, but she owns a third share of a house with her two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
If she were to pass away without a will,
mm-hmm.
would it follow that her daughter would receive everything she's got?
So what did you say? She's just got the daughter?
One daughter, four grandkids.
Okay, right. So, well, firstly, it's going to depend on how the house is held with her brothers, because if the house is held as joint tenants, then the house, her share in the house will automatically go to her brothers on her death, regardless of what a will says, whether she has a will or not. If it's in joint tenants, so she would need to own the house with them as tenants in common.
Okay.
So if she owns, presumably what she's got one third and the other two brothers have got a third each.
Right.
Okay, so she would need to own the house as tenants in common and equal shares. Okay, so if she owns the house as tenants in common and equal shares, then on her death, if she dies without a will and her only surviving issue is her daughter, then the daughter will receive the benefit of the estate. So she's not married? The lady's not married?
No.
Right, okay. So the assets will go to the daughter. But quite honestly, Ken, she would be well advised to make a will, because the process of dealing with her interest in that house, if she dies what we call intestate, which means she dies without a will, is quite involved. You would have to get letters of administration, and the cost could be quite significant. You could be talking some thousands of dollars, whereas if she does make a will and she leaves everything to her daughter, then the share in the house could be dealt with by what's called a transmission by death, and that interest in the house would be transmitted into the daughter's name, and the costs involved in the estate administration, if that's the only asset, might be a few hundred dollars.
Okay.
So she would be well advised to make a will. All right,
okay.
Then.
I thought you might say that. Righto, thanks
okay,
very much,
Ken,
John.
All the very best. And time just rolls along. It's just past 18 minutes after 9 as we say good morning to M. G'day, M. How are you?
Hello.
Yes, M. How are you today?
Yes, I'm good. Thank you, John.
Thanks.
Just two quick questions.
Sure.
My husband's in a nursing home, mm-hmm. and I'm looking to downsize and sell our home because mm-hmm. it's getting a little bit hard for me to manage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got EPOA mm-hmm. For my husband. Now, before I put the house on the market, mm-hmm. what is the procedure? Should I consult my solicitor regarding signing of contracts and things like that when the house is sold?
Yes, look, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to do that, because one of the things you will need to do is you will need to register. Are you in Queensland or New South Wales?
In Queensland.
Yeah, so you're going to need to register the power of attorney in the titles office so that you can use it to sign a transfer on sale. You can sign a contract, you can sign an authority to sell with an agent, you can sign the contract to sell on behalf of your husband using the power of attorney.
Yes.
But you will not be able to sign, you can sign the transfer, but until the power of attorney is registered, the transfer could not be registered. So the buyer's solicitor is going to ask for proof that the power of attorney has been registered. And the other thing you should do when you go and see the solicitor about registering the power of attorney is just get him to check the terms of the power of attorney to make sure that everything is in order for you to do what you want to do.
Okay, so mm-hmm. I've got the power of attorney
mm-hmm.
and we bought the house under the same solicitor,
yes.
So I'm known to the solicitor.
Okay, so just go and see the solicitor. Presumably the solicitor made the power of attorney also?
Yes.
Okay, so just go and see them. Tell them what you're wanting to do,
yes.
And they should be able to point you in the right direction.
Oh, good, good. Now, my second question, John,
sure.
is I'm clearing up the house.
Yes.
And going through the filing system, and my
yes.
husband's kept meticulous files.
Excellent.
Of properties that we bought and sold years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how long do I have to keep these files? Can I get rid of them?
Were these your principal place of residence? They weren't investment properties?
Yes, that we've now sold, that we no longer own.
No, but were they investments or were they houses that you lived in?
Houses that we lived in.
Okay, all right. So I think from memory, the rule of thumb with keeping records, particularly from the Australian Taxation Office perspective, is I think it's 4 or 5 years, but I generally advise people to keep their records for 7 years.
Yes.
So anything earlier than 7 years, if you have no use of it at all, then there's no reason why you can't get rid of it.
Oh, right. Mm. No, these are going back 20 years, when we lived in Sydney and things like that.
Unless they've got some sentimental value to you other members of your family know, you're quite okay to get rid of those.
All right, then. Thank you very much.
Okay, Em, all the very best. And time just keeps rolling along. 21:09 here on 4CRB. 5520888 is the number if you have a question or a query. Free legal advice until 9:30 this morning. Good morning, Ian. How are you today? Ian, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Yes, how can we help, Ian?
Morning. I had a cleaner come in. And when she left, I found a print of mine she'd taken. And I haven't seen her yet, but how would I approach finding out if she... Yeah.
Sorry, when you say a print, are you talking about like a picture?
Yeah, well, no, it's a print. It's a print... of a water painting.
Yeah, so it's not an original. It's a copy. It's a print copy.
It's from the original print.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So what size is it, Ian?
It's very small. Just rolled up. It's not very big at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, look, the only thing I could suggest you do, unless you actually saw the cleaner take it, it's very difficult, isn't it, to accuse someone of stealing. So the best thing to do, I think, Ian, would be to say to the cleaner when she comes that you're looking for this print and that, you know, you haven't seen it since she came and did the cleaning. And did she put it away somewhere or, did she see it or did she put it in a cupboard or when she was tidying up, that sort of thing, which may lead her to either say, oh, yes, look, it's in this cupboard. I put it here because it was in the road, or it may lead to her suddenly finding it.
Yeah, and then she's took it anyhow. So what happens if she says no? So my hands are tied,
I think. Well, I don't know what you can do. I mean, you know, the only thing you could do would be, obviously, if you're concerned about her honesty, you're going to have to terminate her services. And then it may be a case of raising the matter with the police.
Mm.
But you certainly can't threaten her with the police unless she returns it. So don't do that because that's a criminal offence in itself. So all you can do is ask her if she's seen it or if she knows where it is. And if she says no, I think she's just a casual cleaner, is she, that just comes?
Yeah.
I think you would just have to say to her, well, look, you know, I'm very concerned about this print being missing. Or simply you could say to her, look, I've decided I don't need to get your services anymore. Just pay her off and look for another cleaner. And then you can consider whether you take the matter to the police or not.
No, I don't. It's my stupidity, so...
Oh, well, I don't know about that. All the very best then, Ian.
Thank you,
Cheers now. Bye. And it's 9:25 here on The Law and You as we say hello to who will probably be our last caller for the day. Good morning, Karen. How are you? Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
How can I help?
I just wanted to ask about executorship.
Yep.
I have a friend who is an executor for a person, mm-hmm. and he is very ill, and he wants to be released from being the executor. How does he do that?
Right. So has the testator, the person under whose will he's been appointed executor, are they still alive?
No, they're not. They're
halfway. Okay, so he's partway through the administration of the estate?
Well, actually, it's all been finished. This all happened about 5 years ago, and he's been looking after it and paying out money to the lady that the money was left to,
mm-hmm.
With her a solicitor, mm-hmm. and the solicitor basically wiped their hands because there wasn't much money coming in,
mm-hmm.
and basically handed it over to him, and he can't do it anymore, and he wants to be released from that, but he doesn't want to give the money to the person that it was left to because she's been ripped.
Right, okay. So, Karen, which part of the Gold Coast does your friend live?
He lives here on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, but which part, which suburb?
Up near Narang.
Okay, would it be possible for him to get to Robina on a Thursday evening?
Yeah.
Because between 6:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. in the Gold Coast City Council Robina Community Centre, which is just over the road on the western side of the Robina Shopping Centre, there's the Robina Community Legal Centre operates there every Thursday evening from 6:30 to 8:30. So if you or someone could take him in there, they could then sit down with him and go through the whole thing and just work out what can be done for him, because there's a number of issues involved. First question is whether there's been probate of a will or whether he's simply there has been probate. Okay, because to be released, then there would need to be an application to the court, and it's sounding to me like there may not be enough money in the estate for that to be done.
Still about 500,000,
600,000
left.
Oh, right, okay. Well, really, there should be no reason why he couldn't get a lawyer to look after the administration of that for him. If
He actually tried give it to the solicitors who originally acted for her.
Mm.
He tried to give it to the solicitors that released it and didn't want to have anything more to do with it, but they don't want it.
Well, I find that quite amazing, to be honest, Karen, because, you know, we look after estates in our office that go on for years with very modest sums of money involved. So I find that quite incredible. But if you can take him along to the Robina Community Legal Centre and speak to one of the lawyers there, I'm sure they would be able to refer you or refer your friend to mm-hmm. a law firm that would be more than happy to take over the administration of that for him.
That would be wonderful. Thank you very much for all your help.
Okay, Karen, all the very best. Well, that probably just about wraps up the program for the day. Thank you for all of the people who've called in to make for such an interesting program. And once again, my sincere thanks to my colleague Margaret Miller for her great work in looking after you all while I've been away. It was great to know that I was able to go away and have a holiday with a clear conscience that you were in excellent hands. And Tommy, who's in here panelling for me this morning, assures me that that was the case. So that's fantastic. I'll look forward to being back with you again next week for another program of The Law and You at the same time, 9 o'clock. So until next week, as always, goodbye and God bless.